He's the home voiceover studio engineer to the stars in Los Angeles, California. A Virginia Tech grad whose knowledge of the latest recording gear is second to none. He's a voice actor and the home studio master, hailing from Buffalo, New York. His home studio skills and knowledge of voiceover recording is unmatched. When Dan and George talk shop, people listen, and the talk continues tonight. Welcome to East West Audio Body Shop. And now, live from his high-tech facility in Santa Monica and his penthouse studio in Buffalo, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Good evening. I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop.
In the East. I wanted to say something about it, and I am not in the East.
Yeah, I know. Well, so we've been doing a lot of bread baking here.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just a holiday weekend. That's what you do.
Just remember, you know, whenever you record a vocal track,
sit still. You got to sit still when you're talking, okay?
Okay.
And this is...
That's Ella, of course.
Ah, on the end there.
I did a book, my second book narration practice with her, where she repeats, you know, it's just literally line reading. It was fun.
That's a lot of editing.
It's a lot of editing, but it's fun. I actually enjoy it.
Yes. Oh, well, welcome to another East West Audio Body Shop and our monthly hangout, our Google Hangout. And we got lots of people here with us tonight. And I think we'll go around the horn and talk to them. But first, let's go over what the ground rules are. I don't think we ever go over the ground rules because in my life there are no rules. That's right. You know, and then you know, actually, there's two rules. The first rule is there are no rules, and the second rule is pay attention to rule number one. But what we're going to do tonight is it's an open conversation. If you guys have questions for George and I, feel free to pose them. We will pose questions to you, and you can make up any answer you want. It does not have to be the truth, but...
truth, schmooth.
Truth, yes. We're not playing truth or dare. We're just...
We're not filing our taxes.
Having a little voiceover fair here. But anyway, just feel free to chime in when you want, but we will also address you and make sure everything's working. So let's go around the horn, make sure everybody's microphone is on here first. I think starting from left to right, you got everybody's picture there, Jorge?
Uh-huh.
All right. Starting in the red T-shirt, Adam Burrell. Adam, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Excellent. And his mic's working.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Now, where are you hailing from?
Originally from Detroit in Grand Rapids, Michigan now.
Ooh. Oh, no wonder Anthony knows you.
Right on.
Yeah, all right. How long you been doing voiceover?
Just getting into it right now. So.
Oh, we have a virgin, everybody.
Yep.
Let's not abuse the kid. Yes. Now, next to Adam, we have quite a veteran, an accomplished voice actress. We won't go any further on any of the terminology, but Anne Gangusa.
Hello.
Hi,
hey, everybody.
Anne.
Welcome
happy
to the show. Holidays?
Oh, happy holiday.
Yeah, I don't know. Do people refer to greeting Memorial Day? Do you say happy Memorial Day? Oh, no. Like, have a thoughtful Memorial Day? Have a retrospective Memorial Day?
Maybe when you say happy holidays for Memorial Day, you're being respectful to the international audience.
That doesn't have a Memorial Day.
That's right.
So maybe that's what it is.
At least not on the same day.
Right.
Like up in Canada, they have every day, they have all the same holidays, they just put them at opposite ends of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Except we don't have Canada Day in the U.S., although they do at the Outlet Mall in Niagara Falls, New York, when all the Canadians come over, and they refer to that as Canada Day. Welcome to the program, Anne. We've been wanting to have you on for some time. Next to her, going from left to right, Anthony Gettig joining us from Kalamazoo.
Yes, okay. The only question is this microphone working, or is it the iPad?
The iPad, I think.
It's the iPad. The iPad's on.
Speak. speak up because I'm trying my iTrack solo, but apparently the Focusrite little iTrack solo doesn't work with Google Hangouts on an iPad.
Yet.
Well, yeah, not yet. Anthony, thanks for being our guinea pig.
Yeah. So now that we all know this.
So, I was traveling this last week, and I had to use this thing, and it worked fantastic. The iTrack solo is great.
Yeah, sweet. No, it sounds great. I mean, and now I'm seeing that Focusrite is like making their newer units, the new Scarlets, are also compatible with an iPad using the camera connector. So I saw that in some Focusrite ad this week.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, next to Anthony, one of our best and closest and longtime friends, Diane Costello Merritt. How are you this evening?
Cheers, I'm ready for EWABs.
L'chaim, all right. We haven't seen much of you lately. I mean, we see you in the chat room, but...
I know, I've snuck in the back door a little late.
What have you been doing?
Watching Game of Thrones with Lisa Biggs.
I had a feeling. See, that's what a DVR is for.
I don't have one. But we're skipping tonight, and we're going to watch it tomorrow, so...
Oh. Well, somebody must have a DVR. You can watch it online.
How can you not have a DVR?
Yeah,
I know.
VCR.
I'm shipping you one, Diane.
Okay.
There you go.
Nobody should be without.
I mean, that's you know, if you got cable, that's what on demand is for. I mean, Mad Men is on Sunday night too, and I just, you know, 11:30, 11 o'clock, midnight. All right, let's watch Mad Men. You know, like Mad come Man. Down and boom.
Mad Men. Yes. Mad Men.
Love that show.
Great show. Great show. Yes.
Can I just say that my hairdressers, please. My hairdressers triplets is Joan's baby. I just want you to know that. because they can shoot, you know, triplets and use any one of them. Joan's baby. Her triplets, two of her triplets are acting as Joan's baby. So if you've watched, you know.
Oh.
Yes.
Cute kids.
Far out.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't see the baby much. We just see her talking about the baby.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know, and her mother saying, "You gonna take care of the baby?"
No, Mom.
No, Mom. Love Mad Men. All right, next to Diane is me. Then next to me is George. Then next to George is Lee Penny.
Hey
Lee, how you doing tonight?
I'm just happy to be awake.
what? You've been traveling?
Yes, I was in France for 10 days, and 10 days is not enough to get used to anything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know what time it was.
Yeah, traveling back west from the east is a pain because, you know, especially if you have to go way east and then way west and then back east, which I have to do later on this summer, you wake up in the middle of the night and you go, where the hell am I? You know, it's like, what time zone is it?
I do that anyway.
Oh, well, I know you do.
On normal night.
I do that anyway.
Well, welcome back. And if you fall asleep, feel free to fall asleep.
Thanks for having me.
All right. And then
I'll try not to leave my head on the keyboard.
All right. But you can feel free to leave because I know there's other people who might want to get in, too. So if you feel yourself, you know, passing out, then, you know, you feel free to leave. But just let us know you're passing out and, you know, we'll call the EMTs.
We'll watch.
Look, there goes. That's right.
Just keep the camera on, Lee.
There you go. All right. And on the on the far, far right. You know, and we don't know where politics are, but on the far right, it's Roxanne Coyle.
Hi.
And her mic is working. All right. Fabulous.
Thank you for inviting me. Actually, this is the first time I've even done a hangout. I have no idea. I didn't know I was going to be on camera. I would have combed my hair.
Are you on an iPad?
Really cool.
Are you using an iPad?
I am.
Okay, so that's why your audio is very low as well. So there's something about the iPad not giving enough audio to Hangouts for some reason, or levels anyway.
Yes. So talk very, very loud. So we don't need it, so we just... Oh, there's Roxanne. We can hear her coming.
What if you hooked up an Apogee to that?
I'll bet that would help.
Yeah. I'll hook up my Apogee.
Yeah, well, let's see if that works.
Anthony hooked up his iTrack Solo, and it wouldn't work. So
yeah,
we'll see about the Apogee. You may have to reboot it or something. I don't know. That's a problem with an iPad. An iPad is not a real computer, so it has no sound driver control panel. You can't say, I want to use this interface or that interface. It makes it really a pain in the butt.
All right.
I wish it was a real computer. You know what? That's got to be the next big announcement, is an iPad Pro, where it's like an iPad, but it's a new operating system that's iOS... Everything kind of baked into one thing, where you can run real apps and, you know, everything in one machine.
Real apps?
Well, Mac OS apps, sorry.
So you can run applications.
Applications, right, like Adobe Audition, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Twisted Wave.
Right. Well,
scaled down MacBook Air.
Yeah, well, I mean, make a touchscreen MacBook Air. That'd be pretty cool.
Yes. Well, my wife is looking at a touchscreen computer now. She's like, she's got Windows 8 and she's been using, you know, the touchpad on her computer is going bad.
Right.
So it's like, dear, you need a new computer.
Right.
You know, and now it's going into Office Depot and Best Buy. And it's like, all right, which one? Well, you need a quad core. You need, you know, it's got to be fast, you know. And you find that the salesmen don't know what they're talking about. People are just popping in and out of here like crazy. Anthony's back.
Beep,
pop. Okay, we're now getting a tour of Roxanne's apartment here. And you know, you'd be amazed at all the times that...
Was that a cage?
Is that a trapeze? No, let's not go there.
No, let's.
How's our travelings?
We need something to make this show more interesting tonight.
It's been fascinating so far. Yeah. In the meantime, we got people piling into the chat room here going, what on earth is going on here?
I hope you're not a new viewer tonight, because if you are, this is not what the show is normally like.
This is not how it normally is the other 3 weeks of the month.
Right. It's like this once a month. So
Once a month.
This is part-time normal.
Yeah. Well, while Roxanne is trying to, you know, take us on, you know, through her entire house, there was something everybody's talking about, George, that you threw out to a bunch of people about something called Lucy. What is this Lucy thing?
Oh, yeah, Lucy. Somebody just mentioned it recently in an... Where did I just see it? Some random person started talking... Oh, it was Joe Van Riper. His latest newsletter
he just
sent out, and he said, and he had a blob about Lucy in there. So Lucy is, his name's not Viper.
Lucy.
I was searching for Viper, and I didn't find him. No, Lucy is a software that's like a Source Connect type thing. Maybe it's even more similar to AudioTX, but it runs on iPhones and Android phones.
And iPads.
And Macs. And Windows. It's pretty platform agnostic, and it's pretty cool. So, here, I'll just read you real quick what Joe had to say about it. There's something new and exciting on the market that may be a solution to disappearing ISDN service. It's called Lucy Live, and was originally developed for broadcasters looking for simpler ways of doing live remotes. In a small 1.8 megabyte app that can be used on a variety of devices, it turns your smartphone, tablet, or computer into a high-quality live internet-transmitted audio source in real time. You can even record everything for backup while doing your VO. The audio studio quality, assuming you're using a studio quality mic, and includes two-way operation, so you can get direction, comments, etc. So think Source Connect. So what's the downside? There's always a downside. Well, it's $400. But compare that with the competition, it's pretty cheap.
Well, there is the light version, which is like $30, which I saw.
I haven't tried the light version, so I can't vouch for whether it's compatible with everything else.
They say it's sort of limited compatibility.
Yeah.
But it apparently it should work. So I'm willing to, you know, plop down $30 and see what it does.
I did try the demo and it worked.
Does the person on the other end have to have it too?
Sure.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So they're making out twice on it.
just like Source Connect. Same dealy, Bob. Yeah. But the other thing that's unique about this is you don't have to have a Lucy on the other end. You can have a number of other hardware codecs that none of you guys have, but radio stations all have, like the Zephyr IP, and several others that connect over the internet, and the Lucy will talk directly to their existing equipment. So that's pretty fancy.
So that would actually, literally, anybody who does not have ISDN, if they had Lucy, they would be able to, it's sort of almost like a bridge.
Well, if the station has an IP-based codec that can talk, yeah, that can, it works with MPEG-2, AAC, AAC-HE, AAC-HE version 2, a bunch of them. So it's compatible with a lot of different systems. So it's looking very tempting. And I did mention it to, or Dave Immer actually has mentioned it in his blogs or newsletters, and I said, are you bridging Lucy yet? And he said, yeah, I can bridge Lucy. So, you know, waiting to hear the first report on somebody who actually used it out in the field and really did a session. Who's it going to be?
Yes. I believe Anthony is raising his hand.
Well, Dave Crevasi had a blog about this as well on the 24th. I'm speaking up because hopefully you can hear me.
Yeah, we hear you.
Yeah, okay. You're there.
Yeah, he blogged about this and included some comments from Dave Immer and said the limitation is that the light version removes the record, edit, and FTP functions, and it limits the codec choice to the slightly lower quality G.722.
Lower quality.
Is it a lot?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't sure.
Yeah, G. Dot is like AM radio sportscaster codec.
That's no good. But I'm curious to know, I mean, if that was the case, think about it, $350 for the full version. If you can connect to another studio that has that, I mean, what if they had just a dedicated iPod mini sitting there for this very reason?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah, it's got a lot of potential. Yep. Exciting.
Yeah. You got your mic working, Roxanne?
You know what?
That sounds better.
Oh, does it? No, I actually haven't connected it. I was futzing around looking for the cable, so I just bailed.
No problem.
Never mind.
We hear you.
I've got my Apogee mic plugged in. It is not working with Google Hangouts.
Okay.
Wah, wah. Boy, it's a buggy night tonight. We're not quite sure what the problem is, but at 9 o'clock we went on the air, so who cares?
Yeah, and we actually managed. Ooh. Yeah, I started Ustream Producer and it said, hi, thanks for demoing Ustream Producer. I'm like, thanks a lot, you know, and I had to register it and everything.
Yes. So anyway, since we all have you here tonight, anybody got a question, a topic that anyone would like to discuss? You must have, otherwise you wouldn't say, I'll be there. You must have something to say. So speak up.
Or get
Anthony,
the hell out.
You have, yeah.
I'm sorry.
I have a testimonial.
Okay.
Go for it.
I do. I was traveling this whole last week. I had to spend a long time in another state, and it was pretty darn close to purgatory, but that's another story.
We won't say what state, then.
I'm turning up Anthony's audio, so everybody else be quiet.
Yeah, I won't say what state it was, even though it was Delaware. So I was in my hotel room, and I had my Harlan Hogan Porter Booth Pro, but you know what else I had? I had a piece of studio suit, Dan.
You did?
I did. I had a piece of studio suit. And you didn't ask me to say this, but I'm going to say it anyways. It worked fabulously. Now the Porter Booth Pro is fine by itself, but with that piece of studio suit in there, dude, dead right now. And it made all the difference in the world.
So how did you use it?
Yeah, how'd you set it up?
I tried it a couple of different ways. I just kind of like tried to put it in and just kind of cover the inside of it, which was okay. It was actually a little boomy that way. So what I ended up doing was laying it like flat and then kind of curved up the very end of it near the back. That seemed to work the best.
Nice.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't know why it works, but it does.
Did you put that inside your porta booth?
The porta booth?
Yeah.
So instead of the Oralex that's on the inside there, you put the studio suit.
Yeah, well, it was kind of, the best configuration, like I said, was to lay it on the bottom and then kind of curve it up a little bit at the back. So there was still the upper part of it was the whatever that foam style. I had like the original Porta Booth Pro, so it's not Oralex, whatever that is.
Right.
But it worked pretty well, so a combo of the two. But I'll tell you what, without the studio suit in there, I had a hard time finding a sweet spot. to put the mic, but with it in there, I found it much faster.
Fascinating. Well, I thought about, you know, everybody's been saying, why don't you come up with a porter booth using Studio Suit? And I'm like, because I like Harlan too much.
I know. Maybe you guys can come to know, but maybe you guys could do a porter booth Studio Suit edition or something.
We may do that.
Yeah.
I have to talk to him about that. Yeah. I mean, we are going to have it on VoiceOver Essentials. So he has said he wants it on there.
Oh, cool.
And the more we use this stuff, the more we're discovering it works even better than I think it does. So it still boggles my mind that the only human being on the face of the earth who would know what to do with this stuff finds it sitting in a warehouse in Buffalo. Somebody want to get
there's
that?
There's an order right now.
Yes.
Phones are ringing off the hook.
Operators are standing by.
No, I have a pile of it in my living room. A studio yes. suit, that is, I mean.
Wasn't it fun to open the package, though?
Oh, my God. No, I haven't opened the bag yet. It's still in the big bag. But the box that it was in was a super industrial strength, appliance cardboard box, man. I had to bring out the power tools to get that box open.
No. Yeah, no, I watched it getting wrapped. No, I take it to this place around the corner. There's a self-storage place.
Yeah.
It's also a FedEx place. And they're an eBay fulfillment house, so they have great deals with FedEx. And they have every box of every dimension ever known to mankind.
That's great.
And I walk in there, and they're like, and they see me coming in. They're like, oh, here he is. And and I sometimes vacuum pack it. And sometimes I don't. And we could not find a box that it would fit. And they had one box in the back, and we had to put a different top on it, which is the box that you got.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it came completely intact. No problem.
Well, that's what I like to hear. And yeah. I know Roxanne's glad to hear that.
I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I'm all set to go. I got my husband's on board to get to get some PVC. And my dad's made room for it in the garage, so I'm heading up to my parents' house for a few weeks this summer, and just looking forward to setting it up.
Yeah, well, we're going to do an install tomorrow. A young lady from San Francisco, who's originally from Buffalo. Yes, everybody's from Buffalo.
No Sabres.
Yes, I would figure you would know her, Diane. Wendy King grew up in Eggertsville, Snyder area. But she came. Her mother is ailing, and she came back to Buffalo for the summer. And our good friend Ann Richardson said, "Hey, there's a friend of mine from San Francisco is coming back to Buffalo. Can you help her out because she does audiobooks?" And I said, "Sure." Well, it turns out she lives around the corner.
Love it.
I mean, literally within walking distance. And the house that her parents have is almost the identical setup to this, the same closet. And I'm like, oh, you can be in there. Well, it's my father's office, and maybe I'd rather be in the basement where it's about 25 degrees cooler. So we're like, okay. So she's built the cube, a PVC cube, and I'm going over there tomorrow. We're going to install the studio suit in there, and we'll see how that works down there. I'm sure if it works great for Anthony, it's going to work for everybody. Yeah, so I'm real happy about that. But this isn't an ad for Studio Suit. Yes, it is.
Hey, it's our show. We can talk whatever we want for as long as we want.
I have a question about Studio Suit. Anthony, you said you had a piece of it. Do you cut this stuff?
Oh, yeah. No, it's I just happen to have a piece here. Oh. Yes, here it is.
Oh, you got your logo on.
Uh-huh. Yes. Well, this was the original logo. This was an experiment. See, you put it up in front of this, and suddenly you don't hear me anymore. That's how good it is. No, it's this insulation material I discovered, and it comes in these rolls that are 40 feet long and 8 feet tall. So I literally have to go into the warehouse and roll this stuff out. And then there's these aluminum poles that are in it that are hooked together with chains. I have to take a bolt cutter, go down the 40 feet. There's like 9 of these aluminum poles, remove the poles, put them up against the wall. We're scrapping them because aluminum is like 59 cents a pound. And I know a guy with a scrap yard, and know, so it's this is a total recycling project. But the material is like this. It's this canvas material with a special insulation on the inside, two pieces of canvas. And I cut them up into individual sizes, primarily into 5 by 5 by 8 sheets. So if you've got an 8-foot ceiling or something, you just sort of hang it from the ceiling. And, you know, in an open room, you can hear I'm in an open room. But the second you put studio suit behind a microphone, you hear how dead it gets. It's that good.
Yeah, we're already pretty dead to begin with in there, so it's hard.
We know that. But. That's true. Yeah, there is some acoustical treatments in my main office here. But
is it gluten-free? Trumpet guy it says. Is,
oh, in this house, damn well gluten-free.
Make sure you put that on the box, man.
That's true. That's yeah, there probably feature. Isn't any gluten in there. Yes, but if you're eating this... We need to talk. Anyway, I think it's time we take a little commercial break here since we've only been doing a commercial break for the last 10 minutes or so.
Yeah, my turn for a commercial.
Yeah, it's your turn. So why don't you throw your spot on, and we'll be right back here on East West Audio Body Shop. So stay right where you are.
VO Studio Tech. Recording made simple.
Hi, I'm Peter McHugh.
This is Jim Tasker from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner in Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Scott Rummel here in Yorba Linda, California.
Hi, my name is Rick Wasserman.
Hi, this is Tom Kane.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Zurich.
Hi, I'm Mary McKittrick.
Randy Thomas chiming in.
Hi, this is Joe Szymanski.
Hey, this is Rick Robles.
Hi, my name is John Patrick Armstrong.
I was turned on to George by none other than Don LaFontaine, who always swore by his help.
George is absolutely awesome.
ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patch, FTP, you name it, Georgia set it up.
It's really the best thing I've ever done for myself. I feel free, safe, fearless, like anything is possible in here.
Unless you like to look for opportunities to waste time, call George.
And he did all of that, long distance over the phone and the internet.
I'm very happy with George, and I cherish him.
Thanks, George. You make it easy.
So what else are you planning on doing tonight? I thought so. Now back to East West Audio Body Shop with Dan and George.
That means we're back, right?
Yeah, that's your cue, man.
Okay. 5, 4, 3, 2.
I could do the hand signal thing, though.
Well, I mean, I like the countdown, actually.
Okay.
We've been doing the countdown for the last couple of years, so. Mm-hmm. And then some nights it's like, I hear it. Are we on?
You know, sometimes I think of it, sometimes I don't.
I know. It doesn't matter. But we are trained professionals here. So we can pull this off. That's true. Anyway, moving on from studio seat. I wish I could do the same with Tinky. You know. No, Anthony's met Tinky, so he knows what I'm talking about.
Did you rename him Tinker or Tinkle?
Tinky. Her name was actually Tinkerbell.
Oh, okay.
When we got her. But I call her Tinky Winky after the Teletubbies.
Right.
You know, my one son's like, don't call her Tinky Winky. I hate the Teletubbies. I'm like, yeah, but that's what I call her. All right, this is getting ridiculous. Okay, what do you got?
Let's see. I got this because I'm setting up a couple little simple home studios this week, so I have stuff sitting around that I don't normally have.
Like?
So I have this Hercules mic stand. It's called the Quick and Easy Series Microphone Stand. And let me take it out of the box. I don't know how this is really useful for voiceover particularly, but let me go to a full camera here so I can be seen a little better. Okay. So what makes this mic stand unusual, from the bottom down, it's pretty typical fare, you know, the tripod legs and the whole thing. But what makes this thing kind of cool is two things. One, it has a squeeze grip for quick adjustments. It's very strong. And two, it is a straight stand or a boom stand in one. So you twist this knob, you pull out the boom, and it pops out of there. And now it's a boom stand. And it's adjusted all with one knob. So it's got one knob that lets you slide and tilt. And it is a pretty good clamp. I mean, it really clamps this thing strong. You know how many damn boom stand sag, you know, when you set them up.
And this, really?
I don't think this one's going to sag. I mean, it really has a serious grip. And I haven't even tightened it as much as you can. So anyway.
So what does that have to do with voiceover? Everything. That's well, perfect.
Yeah, I think it's going to be awesome. I got two of them. I got one of them, and I'm going to set it up. And I think this thing could support a Harlan, you know, like a porta booth, pretty easily.
Is the base stable enough?
Well, I don't know if it's any better than any other tripod stand, but it's a pretty hefty, probably 7 or 8 pound tripod stand. So, you know,
would it need the ABS strap from the Harlan sells?
That's what I was thinking. I don't know. It may not because this pivot clamp here on the pivot is seriously strong. I mean, it's really strong because not only is it clamping, setting the position of this part here, but it's also setting the angle as well. And when you're tightening it, what it's doing is it's pulling this clamp towards the middle. So it's squeezing it tighter and tighter as you turn the knob. Instead of the typical clutch, which is just two pieces of rubber washers just relies on friction. I mean, this relies on friction too, but I'm pulling pretty hard on it, and it's not moving. So anyway, just I you know, every time somebody says I need a mic stand and I need this, and I have the opportunity to buy a bunch of parts, I always say, well, maybe there's something better than the last 10 mic stands I bought, and I spend a little extra time researching. And this one came up on Amazon. So, Harlan, I know you have your own mic stand out there, but maybe you should consider stocking this one too. Actually, do you guys know much about the Harlan Hogan mic stand? Is it just sort of a regular stand, or does it actually have some unusual features?
The little mini mic stand?
No, he has a regular tripod stand on his website that I think he branded. Yeah, whatever. But anyway,
he's branded everything.
I know. Quick and easy series microphone stand, Hercules, part number MS533B. That's what it is. So pretty cool.
And hopefully the check is in the mail, George.
And then I got this. I love the little IKEA lights. You know, the little IKEA bendy lights. Well, I got one right here. This type of light. How many people have seen these? Probably a lot of you guys. They have a really nice warm light. It's called the Jans Joe. It's a really good copy light.
And you can use that for colonoscopies.
Well, this one, it depends on your experience with colonoscopies. If you're a first timer, you might want to use this one, which has a smaller
lots of lube
head. So,
oh my God.
We're anyway, rapidly going downhill.
I know, but that's
no brakes.
Hey,
no brakes.
It's a holiday weekend.
So anyway, they have IKEA is selling a USB version of that light. So for travelers or whatever, you know, plug into your laptop, or if you have a USB hub on your desk, whatever. It's about as bright. It's about half as bright as the other one, but it's still bright enough to read copy very easily. So that's the Jans Joe, JANSJO USB light. That's new from IKEA. So I thought that was pretty cool. What else? Oh, the Hercules comes with a mic clip, which I'm never going to use, but it has an interesting feature then that it's a quick release mic clip. So you don't have to unscrew it from the stand. It's got a clamp. So it slides right onto the end of the mic stand, and then you just pull the clamp shut. Oh, that's pretty nifty.
Yeah.
I like companies that reinvent.
So for those of us with rock careers, we can just rip it right off.
Right.
Yeah, it's definitely made for touring. There's no doubt about it.
Here's another thing you can use.
Oh, vice grip.
Vice grip. You know, two things, like we say, you know, God created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day, he created duct tape and vice grips.
Exactly.
That will usually do it.
Anybody else Alrighty. Got any show and share? Question.
Roxanne does.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
We can.
You're on.
Speaking about mic stands and all that, what's a really good clamp? Like a wall mount clamp, so that I could attach it to the wall.
Yeah.
And have the mic come arm down.
Do you want one of these type of arms? You know, the angle poise. I don't know if you probably can't
or one of these guys.
Damn.
Yeah.
Is that the type you're talking about?
Yeah. I need something really strong. I mean, obviously, I don't want it to sag or crash.
Yeah. Well, the Bob Heil H-I-E-L. One is really popular. Oh, that sounded good.
Thank you.
That one's really popular. I have the one I'm talking to right now is a Crusher, which is from eBay. And they're about $50 with an internally wired microphone cable. And the cable's pretty decent, actually. It's got good connectors on it. And then what else? Oh, the wall bracket is the key, though, right? You want to mount it to the wall.
Yeah.
So to mount it to the wall.
That causes a number of problems.
Well, Bob Heil has one. And but the ones that I buy are made by Luxo, which is the company that makes that basically invented that type of a lamp. L-U-X-O. Mm-hmm. And the model number is the 50003. So the 50003. So if you Google that, you'll find that wall mount. And it's fantastic.
Thanks.
Is it strong enough to handle a heavier mic?
The mount or the arm?
The arm.
Oh, yeah. This arm's pretty I have two mics. I have two mics on my arm. Here, I'll show you.
Well, do
guys,
show.
In the Hangout, you guys really can't see very well because I'm doing the screencast. Let me see here if I can make it so you can see me a little bit better.
Whoa. It's like meta.
Oh, and let me hang on.
There we go. Because
you guys can see I'm a little bit better in the Hangout.
That's a little bit better.
So I've got, as you can see, two microphones on this. So, yeah, is it strong enough? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And of course, when you mount the mount on the wall, you really have to go into a stud. I would not rely on wall anchors for something like that, especially.
Right.
You should hit the stud with at least two of the screws. And if you can't, I've had to use those butterfly type toggle bolt things, mm-hmm. which really are a pain in the ass because you got to drill a half inch hole to put them in the wall. But they work if you have to.
Yep. Yeah, that's always fun with a torque wrench trying to get some of those things in there. But you got to put a good starter hole in there first.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, my dad made a volume knob. Here, I'll show this off.
Wow. All right. Oh, cool.
Here, let me. Yeah, you guys can see that. I know this doesn't sound like a big deal, but
another look at that there.
One of my clients, David Kay, who we're doing a studio for, he has this weird affectation when he records himself, left over from the days of radio, I guess. Where he always rides his headphone pot. Like he holds on to the headphone pot while he's doing a session over ISDN. And he's constantly potting himself up and down in his headphones. It's a really weird.
That's
it's just
weird.
Something that he's done for years. And he's like, I can't stop. So he says, I keep killing headphone knobs. I can't use a normal headphone knob on a mixer or anything else because I break them. So I tasked my dad with the idea of building one. That could probably handle that kind of abuse. So this one is a headphone volume using an L pad, which is basically a really beefy volume control. It's the kind of volume control that you might, if anybody has speakers in their house in different rooms and you have a volume control on the wall for your speakers, it's the kind of thing that you would use. So this thing's going to be flush mounted in the desk, sticking straight up. And so he can just plug his headphones in here and grab the volume. So anyway.
Hey, George, cool. Brian has a good question. Does it go to 11?
Does it go to 11?
It goes to 11. It goes to 11. I'm going to have that silk screened on right there. 11.
Yeah. So if you put more numbers on there, can you get it even louder?
Yeah, exactly.
We're not far from that technology anyway.
Yes. Oh, yes. It's sealed and it's a 200-watt handling pot. If you really want to drive your headphones really loud, pull your head off. This thing can handle it.
Yes. Adam Burl, you're hanging out there at the far left-hand corner. You're being very quiet. Tell us something. Hey, how you doing?
Really good. I'm just, I don't know.
Everything. Hanging out?
Yeah, clearly. Google on this.
What's going on in the chat room? Yeah, there's some this and that going on.
Well, we see lots of our friends in there.
Are you watching the chat room? I keep forgetting to look over there. Sorry, chat room.
Yeah,
it's just when you do the hangouts, it's just a lot more energy going on. It's more fun. Lots of people talking and hanging out.
It's awesome having Adam on the EWABs tonight because Adam was just a barrel full of energy at BAF camp And seeing him work from one group to another to another to another, you've never seen a more social animal than Adam Burrell. And he's the dude. That's all I can say.
Cool, man.
Nice. Adam.
So I did have a question, though.
Yeah, oh, please.
Please ask.
And it was, I was actually bugging Dan about getting a studio suit before, but one of the things that he was advising me on to not do with the studio suit was to encase my desk in it. Hmm. And so I was wondering if you guys could elaborate recording away from your desk a little bit
more.
I'll sit back and listen.
Oh, okay. Do you have one of those for me? Did you bring enough for everybody?
I did. I got a sixer in the fridge.
All right. Well, the way I like to explain it, a lot of people like to record at their desk. Now, the problem with doing it at your desk is, one, you've got to if you've got a mic stand on the desk itself, you're going to cause yourself a little bit of a problem. And I've seen this over and over again, where a mic stand desk, you know, a desk stand mic holder, will vibrate with the desk.
I'm demonstrating.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You're the boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, and what eventually happens is if you're... Oh, I just unplugged my headphone here.
Because my mic arm is clamped to my desk.
Okay. If I release this... you'll eventually... It'll start to sound like this. And the reason for that is your desk is a hard surface. And it not only does it pick up the vibration of your voice on the desk and in back into your microphone, even if you've got a shock mount on it, it's a bit of a problem, and it's too close to where you're talking, and you're creating two very hard surfaces that you're talking into. So you're creating a number of different problems. There's the sound of your voice bouncing off the desk back into the mic. There's the sound of your voice hitting the desk and vibrating up the mic stand into the mic, and what it causes is a lot of heavy duty bass reflex. And a lot of times people will, they'll send me demos and studio checks, and I'm like, God, there's an awful lot of bass reflex. How are you set up? Well, I've got my mic on a desk stand on my desk, and I'm like, get a boom stand, get the mic totally isolated from the desk. And if best be, don't even use your desk. Use a music stand or something and have your copy and keep an open area there so the sound goes through all that and you won't get that bass reflex. That's the reason I suggest it. Now, George might have a couple of different opinions on that, but I'm not in favor of doing that. Oh, good.
I agree with keeping
that makes
the mic,
my life so much easier.
I agree with keeping the mic away from the desktop surface as much as you can, because what always ends up as a big challenge is that you guys are trying to read off your screen, because we're all trying to be responsible citizens of the planet and be paperless. So now you've got the screen pretty close to the mic, really close to the mic, and you've got the desk really close to the mic. And that just creates all sorts of havoc. It's hard enough getting the screen and the mic to not reflect your voice back into the mic. Now add the desk into the equation, and it's a nightmare. So even if you have a lot of absorption around, it doesn't matter, because you get this thing called early reflection. That's the sound of your voice bouncing off the mic and going off the desk and going immediately into the microphone. It gets combined with the direct source of mouth to mic. The two waveforms get mashed together, and you end up with this jaggedy waveform. It has what's called a comb filter.
Comb filter.
And the sound starts to – that's what gives it a hollow, or I sound like I'm in a tunnel sound.
I hope that makes sense. It sounds like this.
Well, the mic has to be under there too to really hear it.
Oh, okay. Well,
but yeah, that's the idea.
All right, cool. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Kieran is asking in the chat room, is there anything, what about having an iPad in front of you? Is there a risk of polluting your noise, as it were?
Not the iPad in front of you? Not really, because the iPad's a lot smaller, and depending on your eyesight. Now, and I think that's probably a factor too, because I'm somewhat farsighted, and these glasses are getting worse and worse and worse, and I've got to keep pushing things farther and farther away to read them. You know, you ever been in a restaurant? Dear, can you hold that menu up on the other side of the table so I can read it?
Yeah, that's me.
It's getting like that. If the iPad's not that much of a problem, especially if you've got it mounted or you're holding it. And maybe if you have it on a music stand or something like that and slightly angled away, it's not going to be as much of a problem. If you're on a big screen or something like that,
A big monitor in a small booth is a real challenge.
That's not a good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I've got a 15 inch monitor in there and I can angle it and I tune it. I try to find out what's the best way to use it. And, you know, George and I have gone back and forth saying, well, how about if I have it like this? How about if I have it like that?
Yeah, that's right.
And of course, since I put the 416 in there, it's all kind of moot.
Yeah, that definitely, it's a big cheat. The shotgun mic is a big cheat. Yeah. It really does reject a lot.
I'm not cheating.
No.
I'm not cheating at all.
It lets you get away with a lot. I mean, that's why so many of my clients over the years have been using 416s in whisper rooms and using the stock acoustical foam and just being able to get away with it. You know, so I had this false conception of how good a whisper room sounds because so many of my clients were using 416s. And we were able to kind of get away with it. And then as soon as I had clients using, you know, large diaphragm mics, you know, like studio mics, all of a sudden I started realizing how bad these whisper rooms sound. And so, you can really get away a lot with like a shotgun mic for sure. It's a great way to lower your noise floor and get away with the less than ideal acoustics in many cases.
Yeah. I don't know why I put it off for so long, but it's a big help. Any other questions?
Well, let's do a commercial and people can think about questions.
Yeah, okay. Sounds good.
Let's do I'll do your home studio spot.
Okay.
Okay.
So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Back.
And now back to the only webcast done with two cans, two geeks, and a string. East West Audio Body Shop with George Whittam on his end in the West and Dan Leonard in the East.
You actually gave me a countdown?
Only because you mentioned it.
I don't need no stinking countdown, man.
It was a late countdown anyway, so it was kind of pointless. True.
It's like, yeah, we heard you saying 3, 2. I'm like, all right. Anyway, we're back here in East West Audio Body Shop, and you guys are still hanging out. You guys are actually in the chat room watching this. but you know what it is. We keep figuring it out. You guys just like hearing us talk shop. I mean, when George and I get together, this is the conversations we're always having.
Pretty much.
Like, you know what this idiot asked me last week? You know, and
we never name names, right?
You'll notice I didn't name any names. Right. It was nobody in this room.
That's right.
In this particular room that I'm in right now. No, it was nobody amongst our present company. And from what I can see in the chat room, nobody, well, maybe not.
I got some more show and tell.
Oh, okay. Well, and then there was a question I wanted to pose to everybody.
Okay. I'll show this one last thing just for my dad.
Okay.
Because he made it. So my dad, we were, you know, about problem solving equipment. We wanted to make it easier for people that do more broadcast style studios where the microphone and speakers and everything's in the same room. And they're doing ISDN and they got to go from talking back and then listening and they want to use speakers more, all that kind of stuff. It can be a real pain in the neck. You end up getting feedback a lot of the time. Sometimes you have to turn down the speakers independently of the microphone, and it's a juggle. So we came up with the thing that we've cleverly called the MMS 1000, which is the microphone mute switch or microphone monitor switch. And all this thing, the beauty of this thing is the simplicity of it.
It's Don't touch one, the red button!
It is one big red switch. And that's all it is on the front end. So this thing, if it's up, your microphone is on. If it's down, your microphone's off and your speakers are on. So it's got relays and stuff. So when you switch, it instantaneously switches the mic off and the speakers on. So those of you from the radio world, you're used to this because broadcast consoles do that. When you push the on mic, the speakers in the studio cut. This thing does it for you. So the back is the, you know, the business end. And this is where you've got insert points for your mixer, your microphone signal goes through, your studio monitor signal passes through. You've got a power LED. You've got the power supply because this thing does have power to power the lights and stuff. And then it's got an output terminal strip and two jacks that you can plug an on-the-air sign into. So if you want to trigger your Harlan Hogan recording voiceover sign in a new kind of fun way, this thing you can use to trigger a remote sign. So anyway, that's the MMS 1000 made in limited quantities by my dad in Pennsylvania.
Wow. Oh, he has his own label too. Wow.
Thanks, Dad.
Everybody's making something.
You know, why not? It's fun.
That's true. Yeah.
Problem solving. It's all about problem solving. We're not trying to make stuff that nobody needs.
Right.
You know, like when the iPad came out, everybody was like, who needs that? But gee, now everybody knows
why. How do you live without it? Angry Birds just wouldn't be around without it.
Yeah. You know, I mean.
So anyway,
what were we talking about, Dan?
Yeah. Well, George and I have been talking this week, not that we don't talk every week and sometimes more than once a week, about the length of our show and a number of other things. Mm. Now, the show originally started out as an hour show.
Right.
Somehow it morphed into an hour and a half. We're not exactly sure when that happened or how that, I think it might have been Harlan was talking too long one night. I'm not exactly sure.
I think one of the first truly long shows was maybe when we had on June Foray. Because we had her there and we kept her on right. As long as we could.
Yeah, well, how long, much longer are we going to have her here? Right. So, and she was great. But it started to, when we had a really good guest on, it would drift on to like 10, 15. And we're like, let's just go to the bottom of the hour here.
Yeah.
Producing an hour and a half show, although it's flying by tonight, probably because there's so much to talk about. We're thinking about cutting back to an hour again, just for sanity's sake. You know, not how many of you have ever produced a TV show on a weekly basis?
Tough.
Yeah, and work full time as a voice actor and an engineer and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, we have some other things we want to try, but you know, if we cut it, you know, and asking in the chat room too, no, I'm not taking out the ukulele. Spit it out. It's not going to happen. can we cut it down to an hour? Maybe we'll just try it for the summer or something. Remember how we did every other week during the summer, the first year we were on?
Yeah,
and that was actually kind of pleasant.
Yeah.
And then last year was like,
we had enough guests. We just kept going.
You just kept on going. So, but we're thinking about cutting it back to an hour and then maybe having what we were thinking about calling EWABS Pro. Where we might go to a pay-per-view type of situation where we will cover one specific topic. Maybe we should do this like once a month.
Yeah.
And do a pay-per-view type of thing, and we can do a webinar once a month.
Webinar
and George
like.
And I, well, like a thing. Only we'll be doing it on Ustream, and right. So we can do video demonstrations of things.
More interactive,
you know, like, yeah. You know, this sort of thing, and have a more interactive type of educational experience. And, you know, maybe just, you know, on our regular show, talk more just about the voiceover business in general, throw a tech thing in there and here and there, because you guys like listening to that stuff too. And the great guests we have on. But we have a survey now. How many people, you know, and you can raise your hand in the chat room too, but also amongst how many have taken the EWAB survey that is on Google+? And you haven't taken the survey yet?
Apparently not.
You know, everybody loves surveys.
Oh, yes.
No.
No, this is a good survey. How do they get to the survey, George?
It's pretty short. I've put the link in on the front page of the website, ewabs.com. I just pasted it in all the chat rooms just this second. We've had about 35 people fill it out so far, which has been really, really enlightening. And all the time we've been doing this show, 96 episodes now, we never did a survey to really get an idea, a handle on what you guys like, what you don't, what we could do better, and you know what guests we'd like to have you'd like to have on. So please do take a few minutes out of your precious day and fill it out. We'd really, really appreciate it because you're basically sculpting the future of this show by participating in this little survey.
Yeah, Anthony, can you throw that link in the into the chat room?
George already did, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's already in there.
I don't see it in there.
Mine didn't work, that link.
Yeah, I didn't get it either.
Sorry, okay, Anthony, what?
Me. I didn't get the link either. It didn't work.
In other words, you clicked it and it said you're not allowed or something?
Server not found.
Yeah.
Oh.
Sometimes you have to highlight, copy the whole link.
Wait, there's no colon in it.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, no, the colon's dropped from it. Just put it in the colon after the HTTPS.
How bizarre.
Well, the link's a little screwed up.
Isn't that weird?
I just put in the colon. Yeah, I just put in the colon after HTTPS, and it worked for me.
Bizarro.
All right,
but
well,
anyway,
whatever.
The link from the homepage is good. So ewabs.com, it's the very first thing at the top of the page. Fill out our survey. We really would appreciate it. But we have gotten some good feedback so far, and there was a few people that actually mentioned going into more detail about a lot of topics, and we figured, you know, that would be a really good opportunity to maybe start monetizing the show a little bit, just doing a special pro version of the show that's an offshoot of the show, and that way we can keep the main show really focused on community, guest interviews, what's going on around the voiceover world, and then maybe get more geeky with the pro shows. So one of the questions on there is, what do you guys think that's worth? You know, every month, if it was a subscription, what do you think it's worth? So if you've already filled out the survey and you didn't see that question, go ahead and fill it out again because I added it in later. So that's in the survey near the end. But anyway,
it's the one written in crayon,
right? It's at the end of the survey. But you know, we'd love to continue growing the show, making it more feature rich, and really giving you guys really, you know, useful information. It's been great. Reading the surveys is awesome. It's so fun to get. There's so many nice compliments in there, which is awesome. But even more important, there's several very critical comments in there, which is great to have because it's actually hard to get.
We need that.
Good constructive criticism. You know, we really appreciate that. So don't be afraid to tell us what you think. And it's totally anonymous. It really is anonymous. So anyway, that's that. Moving on.
All right. Anybody else got a question? Something they want to talk about?
Chat room?
Gardening. We don't care.
Somebody's asking the chat room. I'm not sure it's a complete question. I just got a mic and mixer. I have Windows 8. The mixer will not work. Besides putting Windows 7 back, is there something I can do? And I'm not sure that's enough information for you guys.
Not quite enough, but it's probably a driver problem. I'm assuming you must have a USB mixer of some kind, or sometimes people call USB interfaces mixers. So if that's what you're talking about, the very first thing you should always do when something doesn't work is contact the manufacturer, because they do give you free support in most cases, and just ask them about support. Don't waste your time. I mean, yeah, go to the website, go to the forum, do all that stuff online if you want, try to figure it out, or just call support. It's worth it sometimes taking the shortcut and going right to the support people.
Yeah, I think it's time that, you know, maybe we put together a list of terms.
Okay.
I mean, right now I'm working on a project for a company where I'm doing the definition of 20,000 terms.
Wow.
It's going to last a while. And as the producer is saying, it's going to keep us both employed for a while.
Okay.
But it's defining terms that have to do with doors and locking mechanisms. 20,000 terms defining doors and locking mechanisms. I think there's probably a lot of terms that I think people aren't understanding, and that's a perfect example right there. I'm using my mixer. Well, is it your mixer or is it your digital interface? You know, is it your Cuisinart? We're not sure. I mean, it could be a lot of different things. So maybe we need to start compiling a list of terms.
Yeah.
Maybe publish that.
A glossary of pro audio terms for the voiceover industry.
Right.
Bad idea.
Maybe do a word of the week. There's another feature. Word of the week.
Word of the week.
Make note of that one. Yeah. All right. Any words people want to find this week? We're a veritable encyclopedia here.
Shizzle my dizzle.
Snizzle.
Yes. Oh, or a secret word like Pee Wee's Playhouse, says Steve this. Tardio.
Yes. And the duck will come down and give you $50.
Everybody screamed. Oh, man. Maybe we should just do a children's version of this show, too.
Because I thought we were.
Our audience isn't small enough. Let's shrink things down even more.
And yeah, really. We'll be able to fit more people in the room that way.
Nice.
Another question from the chat room. How often should one update their voiceover demos?
Oh, a bunch of us probably have an opinion on that. I think the standard answer that we hear mostly from some of the bigwigs is when it's ready. Actually, the person to ask that is Uncle Roy, whom I don't quite see in the chat room tonight. But Roy would probably say when you know it's time to change your demo. You know, it's now that sounds silly, but really, I mean, when things are starting to sound stale, when there's a commercial on there for a product for a business that's out of business.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Dated, you know, stuff like business, that. Yeah. Yeah. Dated stuff.
Dawson. The 1987
Dawson. Come on, and see the moving picture show.
That's right.
A Dawson 280Z.
I had one of those. I know Uncle Roy would probably say, do it often. Some people say once a year. Some people say when it's time, and it's an individual thing. Anne, you have any thoughts on that?
On demos?
Yes. How often do you think someone should change it? I know you've been sitting there doing your homework or something, but.
Well, I mean, actually, I'm always up for whenever you feel that that you can do something different. You know, I think you kind of know that when it's time to update, when you've excelled in your skills or you've enhanced your skills and you're ready to do that, and you've got good content to do it, maybe a different market to target, you know, medical, you know, corporate narration, that sort of thing.
Oh yeah, sure.
You know, for those, you know, those niche demos, I think definitely those can just be, you know, kind of roll off the table whenever you feel you're ready for them.
Right. Here's a question. Demos, obviously a demo should sound like it's legitimate. It should really be convincing so that when someone listens to it, they go, oh man, I didn't know you had a spot for Coca-Cola or whatever. But when you've actually done a spot for Coca-Cola, do you put that in your demo? Or is that a different thing called your reel?
I think that's an interesting one.
Because I swear some of my clients with audition, you know, their demos definitely have real spots on them, like real national commercials or whatever. Because like if you're in a real commercial, why wouldn't you have it in your demo?
Right.
So is that a different? Is that a different thing? It's a reel.
I don't know about that. I mean, if I've done a national spot and I have a few, sometimes I will throw that in a demo if I think it's, you know, if it really shows my voice. Say I get stuff. I'm like, I'm not good for that. Well, they think I am. All right, throw it in there. It's a personal thing. I personally, if you don't have enough material that you've done professionally to do a demo. Mm-hmm. You really do need to have a coached through demo, stuff that is simulating you doing the stuff that you should be able to do on the level that other people are doing it, you know, for national spots or for any type of commercial type of stuff, for a commercial demo.
Right.
But if you've actually done that stuff, I don't see why you wouldn't have it on your regular demo.
I know Doug chimed in, said, yes, what does Doug always say? He said, yes, always.
Of course.
Yeah, and I think they're great pieces to have on your website, you know, if you've done a national spot.
Oh, absolutely.
You just, you know, throw them on your website as well, and maybe not or include them in your demo, depending, as Dan was saying, if it's appropriate or if it shows your voice in the proper.
Well, that it just came to mind when you're talking about dated material. Well, I mean, if you did do a national spot for Audi in 2007, mm-hmm. well, you definitely want to let people know, you know. So sometimes dated is okay, I guess, as long as it's differentiated as not just being a demo, maybe. I don't know.
Roxanne, you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I do, actually. Sometimes I think it's just a financial decision about when to update your demo, because often it's really expensive to update. So my thought is you update your demo whenever it's possible, whenever it's financially possible to do so.
It fits your budget. You have to have like a marketing plan, and that's part of your marketing plan. And if it fits that schedule, then maybe.
It's a huge expense.
Yeah.
I'm going to be updating a few demos later this year, and I've basically chosen that instead of going to FAFCON or trying to go to FAFCON in October, that money is going to a demo.
Right.
So, you know, you can budget for it.
Makes sense.
Yep. It does. Yep. It does.
How many of you guys, by show of hands, have a marketing budget? Like, you know what you're going to spend on marketing this year. Diane does. I'm impressed. Anne's raising her hand, too. Mm-hmm. That's really impressive. I mean, that is definitely treating your business like a business when you actually project your budget for marketing. I mean, that's smart. It's hard for me to... I'm horrible at projecting budgets and creating budgets and slotting out money, but that's really smart stuff, you guys.
Yeah.
Pat yourself on the back.
Yeah. You know, and then of course you have to budget in the mac and cheese and the ramen noodles. And
maybe that month you don't eat out.
Yeah. Yeah. All those cans of tuna.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But budgeting, I mean, there's a lot of important things to do as that discipline piece of your business, you know, yes. One, planning ahead, doing a 5-year plan, doing an actual business plan. I think a lot of people jump into this business saying, well, I can just do this. Well, no, you're like, you've got to figure out how are you going to market yourself? Who are you going to market yourself to? You know, what is your budget for doing that? What is your potential return on doing all those sorts of things? It's a business. And you've got to think of it in those terms. I mean, we all have our own styles of doing things. I didn't raise my hand. Do I have a marketing budget? Of course I have a marketing budget. It's whatever I deem is necessary at any one particular time.
Right.
And, you know, it's like, well, can I afford to do this now? Well, I can. So do it, you know, and that sort of thing. If you're on a tighter budget, you know, if your income is sort of like this, then you've got to plan appropriately like that. Especially, Adam, when you're starting out, you've got to think about these things and really look at what is your investment capital to, you know, to put into this, and where is the best investment to get me ahead as fast as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Although sometimes as fast as possible is not always necessarily the best way to do this. We're, you know, a lot of people are impatient to get going in this. I want to start doing it. I got to do it. It's like you got to do your homework.
Yeah.
And you've got to lay the groundwork before you jump right into it. So anyway, Roxanne, go ahead.
I've been using QuickBooks for the last couple of years for all my accounting stuff. And one of the things that I really like is the snapshot page. It gives you bar graphs and circle graphs, charts or pie charts, whatever, with all of the financial information about your business. And it compares last year with this year. So at any, just on that page, I can see exactly where I am like that. I can see, you know, how this month compares to this month last year, or how this quarter is going. And you can project. And you can see your expenses. I can see exactly where I'm at. And it's a great snapshot picture of what your company is.
Yeah.
More and more to make a lot of decisions and to just track from week to week where things are. It's great. It's a really nice tool.
Yeah, the graphics on that are really great, and the latest version is really super. I've been using QuickBooks, I think, since 2007.
I just transitioned to it just this last 6 months.
I have a quick question. Of course, 2013. Have you upgraded to 2013? Because I also use QuickBooks.
Yes.
Yeah, because they keep telling me my online banking isn't going to be available, and I'm really upset about that.
That's why I sprung for the money. I sprung for 2013. It was going to go away.
I was considering doing the online QuickBooks, but you can't. You have to start a new database, and I thought, I've had years worth of databases already, and
it has, but, and it's limited functionality in compared to the desktop version.
I think
this is an
Apple too. Mm-hmm. You lose some functionality going online as well. But I know some people do. I think Dan Hurst uses, there's a few people who use that, and very successfully so.
Mm-hmm.
But you do have to redo a lot of stuff. So
my CPA recommended against it. She said that there's too many things that don't line up quite right, that are missing. And, it's online, so it's evolving, so I'm sure it'll get better, I hope. But right now, it's still not the same. Just like the Windows version and the Mac versions are totally different.
Yeah.
I'm running QuickBooks Pro in Windows on my Mac using a virtual machine because, again, my CPA was like, the Mac version's not the same. It's missing stuff. It looks different. And I've been using a Mac accounting software called Account Edge now for 5 years, and it's a nightmare because my CPA doesn't know what the heck I'm doing. Like, I go, I don't know why this report doesn't work. She's like, I don't know either. And then I have to pay a consultant to tell. So I gave up eventually and just bit the bullet, went to QuickBooks, and I'm glad I did. It's definitely very evolved. And the reporting, like you said, that at-a-glance snapshot stuff is awesome.
I've not had
learning curve. So huge learning curve with
them. Yeah.
Very expensive.
Agreed.
I had to hire. I was so screwed up for months. I finally had to hire a trainer to come and sit next to me for a half day at great expense.
I did that
to put them up to date and get things going. And after that, I was fine. But I even purchased a bunch of CDs. I must have spent $700 or $800 or more just to learn how to use that software. And if I had known that,
Linda.
Linda.com.
They have videos at Linda for QuickBooks?
Oh,
yes.
LYNDA.com.
Because I was looking at getting videos on the QuickBooks website, and of course they've got an extensive training, and it was very expensive. And I was like, what about Linda? And I went to Linda, and sure enough,
thank you.
A full library of videos. It's $25 a month.
That's perfect.
Crazy cheap. So that's what I used to get myself up to speed. And then I only watched the videos that were relevant to what I needed to know, because there was stuff about how do you build your chart of accounts. Well, I'm not supposed to know that. I'm not an accountant. Mm-hmm. I have my CPA do that, So definitely have your CPA build your chart of accounts. Don't try to do it yourself. You will screw it up.
You're right.
Man.
Yeah, it's tough. There needs to be a webinar on QuickBooks for VO businesses. Yeah. I really, really, that's the next webinar that I want to host because if I can get somebody, trust me, I'll be the next one to host that. And I've had issues with tech support from Intuit. I've had a love-hate relationship with them for a long, long time because I used to do all of my books with Quicken.
Quicken, me too.
And good God, they just went downhill. It's horrible. Right. Trying to talk to anybody there.
Right.
But
you get too big. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Tell you what, George, why don't we take a break right now? We'll cruise into the last segment of the show.
And we'll do the Harlan spot.
And we'll do the Harlan spot. And we'll be right back. So, we have announcements?
Well, yeah. There's always announcements.
Oh, okay.
Well, you have an announcement, right? I thought I saw one pop up.
Yeah, there is one here.
All right. Well, that's coming up in a minute.
All right.
Right after this break.
Right.
VoiceOver Extra, the voiceover industry's online news, education, and resource center 24/7. Hundreds, probably thousands of free how-to articles for voiceover success, ranging from home studio to voice acting to business. A free voiceover industry directory, calendar of industry events, resource links, a store, and much more. Bi-monthly webinars on all topics of voiceover, free subscriptions to newsletters, reports, announcements, daily news, and features at voiceoverextra.com.
VoiceOver Extra.
And now back to the only webcast done with two cans, two geeks, and a string. East West Audio Body Shop with George Whittam on his end in the West and Dan Leonard in the East.
Didn't we already hear that one?
Yeah, we did. Sorry. Yeah. I clicked it like I was like, oh, the spot's over. I have to play something right now. And that was the one I clicked on.
Yeah, you have to pull the slide on the cart machine to make sure that you get the cart out and put the other one in.
Some
of you know what I'm talking about.
I never had to use one of those, yeah.
You never had to use a cart machine?
Never. Oh,
God.
I know. I'm lucky. Yeah,
I mean, for those of you wondering what a cart machine is.
No, you got to see Wayne's World 2. Okay?
Really?
There's a scene in Wayne's World 2 where it's what's his name? The guy who was in Spinal Tap, the bass player, who's on The Simpsons with the really Harry Shearer is a radio DJ called Handsome Dan in that show, in that movie. See the movie just for this scene. It's probably on Netflix. Right. And they're like, we're going to go see Handsome Dan, you know, and they go to the station and they see this very handsome guy and they say, hi, Handsome Dan. And he's like, that's not me. And then the guy points over to Harry Shearer, who's got like a Jerry curl.
Right.
So funny. And then so they're in the studio and they're doing spots and Handsome Dan is changing carts and just pretending to listen to them and going, uh-huh, changing a cart, uh-huh, uh-huh. Like that. And so they realize he's not listening and they start saying all sorts of inane stuff as Handsome Dan is changing carts, you know. It is hilarious. So yes. Anyway, see it. So,
and anyone know the name of the manufacturer on here?
Nope.
Anthony, can you remember the name? Starts with an F.
No.
Fidelipack. Yep. Of course it's well. It says
it right here.
It says Fidelipack on there.
Yeah, I can actually read that.
Okay, yes. Dan. Here's a question for: did you ever have to hand wind any carts?
Like, I did.
Did you do that?
I did. On that machine.
Oh God.
How many inches per second a cart machine lands? Mm-hmm. Based on however many inches you calculate that. Okay, well I'm gonna make a 3.5. I'm gonna make a 3-minute 40-second cart to put a 3:30 song on.
Right.
You know, or a 7-second cart to put a 16 spot on.
Oh, the memories.
Ah, yes.
Oh, and Steve Tardio comes up with the link to the scene I was talking about on YouTube. Sweet.
Guy types quick.
I love modern technology. So awesome.
All right. Well, we have some announcements.
Let's say thanks to Harlan.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Yes.
Thanks, Harlan.
Go over to voiceoveressentials.com. He's got everything you need. You hear us say it every week because it's true.
And let's, Adam, show him your cans.
Right here.
And then we'll have the lady show it. No, I'm sorry. That looks good. Let me see. Okay. So, what do you got around your neck, man?
A bunch of the shielded XLR cables that you guys told me I needed after I got a bunch of RFI interference. So I had my friend make a bunch of shielded XLR cables.
And did that fix the problem?
I just got them today. He just drove across the street and gave them to me today. So I'll see today.
Cool. Can't wait to hear the results.
Yeah, that's usually the problem is bad cables. So, I think we probably hear that 2-3 times a week, too.
Adam, what do you think of the cans? What headphones were you using before you got the Harlins?
I was using some really old Sonys that I don't even know the name of them. My boss gave them to me from work because they were so old. So,
what did you notice immediately when you went to the Harlins? Did something jump out at you on those or...
Yeah, the other ones had a lot of bass. They were much bassier than these ones, and these ones are really flat.
Right.
And I sit there and I edit audio all day. So having these, I bring these to work now just because these are better than the headphones that I have at work.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I really appreciate. I really, really like them. I listen to music on these too, actually. I really like how music sounds in these because I don't have something that overwhelms me with bass and takes out a lot of the other parts of the music.
They're hard to describe. They really are different from any other pair of headphones I'd ever heard until I tried them. Yep. And they have a much more mid-range presence. So, like, their voice jumps out of you. Like, the first thing I noticed is, like, these are loud. because you really hear the voice very with a lot of presence. But they still have bass and they still have treble. They just don't. They're not they're the opposite of those. Opposite of those Beats headphones. Those
things are the worst. They are terrible and a half.
Terrible and a half.
Like just overpriced. A bag of horrible.
Overpriced, ridiculous status symbol headphones.
Gaudy.
Yeah.
Terrible. So, yeah, anybody with Beats, I had no offense to you. But.
Yes. These can be your own status symbol. Your status symbol as a great voice actor.
As a professional voice actor.
Right.
So, anyway.
That's
The Harlan Hogan, the, what are they called? The, what's the brand? What's it called?
They are the voice-optimized Signature Series Harlan Hogan headphones.
The VOHs, yeah, the VOHs. They're,
and for a great price,
and,
too.
You know, if you do get them, you have to try them on for a while or break them in. And this is an audio geek thing, and I'll go into this really briefly, but some think it's BS. But any speaker that has a mechanical action, basically that has a diaphragm that moves back and forth, they often need a break-in period. And what that means is just plug in the headphones, crank up some music to start a playlist, and let that thing play at a good volume all night long. And the headphones will actually change in sound, and they always sound better after they've been broken in. So when they're brand new, they tend to be a little more mid-rangey and not kind of thin in the bottom. And then as they break in, that starts to flatten out and they sound better and better. Speakers, headphones, both. They need that break-in period. In my experience, it really does matter. The other thing is wear them for a while. Try them for a good week because they will sound different. Again, they're going to sound totally different from what you're used to wearing. And so your first impression maybe is that you don't like them because sound so different. So,
I had that.
Yeah, so give it a week. If at the end of the week you still just don't like these headphones, send them back. You know, that's the beauty of dealing with Harlan. But, you know, you may find that once they break in and your ears adjust to the curve, the bottom line is if you find these things comfortable, keep them. Because your ears will learn the headphone, you'll learn the way they sound, and you'll get used to them. If they're not comfortable, send them back. There's nothing you can do about comfort. Either they fit you or they don't.
Right.
Yeah. So, and these ones are really... Like the leather is really, really comfortable.
Right.
It is.
Real leather.
Leather with memory foam.
Yeah, leather with memory foam. So, like a client of mine showed me his Beats, executive brand Beats, $300 Beats with noise cancellation. And they had that memory foam, you know. So these headphones are half the price and you get the memory foam. So,
anyway. Right. And the better tune for doing voiceover. Yeah. Well, so much for the 60-second live spot.
Yeah. We get going.
I mean, we haven't done 60 seconds for Harlan.
That's
in the
why
last...
we're hitting up Harlan for more money, everybody.
Yeah.
That's right.
Shh, don't tell them that. That was real professional.
Making sausage here, everybody. Want to watch?
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, okay. I've got something coming up. On June 10th, which I believe is a Monday night, I'm doing a webinar with the Dallas voiceover meetup group, which the name of which escapes me. The Cliff Group, yes. and whenever they take notes, they're Cliff Notes. So they're
womp womp.
That was so bad.
Womp. I know. I don't see Cliff in the chat room tonight.
So to go to bed now.
I think it's getting late here. But that's going to be on June 10th. We're doing a webinar with the Dallas meetup group. I think anybody can go to that. I'm not quite sure. We'll have to check and see on that one. Mm-hmm. What else we got to talk about? Is there anything? I can't see the list because I came running in from a party.
I didn't even load up a show note this week. That's how prepared we are. But
it's a hangout. It's like, you know,
that's the whole point.
Let's do a show.
Point of doing hangout once a month is to have fun with you guys and for us to do a little less. Have to do a little less show prep. Let's be honest. I mean, that's the whole point. So we don't have to do it. But
not that we're ever formal or anything.
Right.
But.
Right. But I've updated the website again, ewebs.com. There's a link to the survey there. There's a YouTube link there, which has every show in a playlist, all 95 of them, and after tonight, 96.
That's 96,
so
if you
can
believe
go in
that.
There and look through the shows and play anything you want. The iTunes version of the show, the podcast, is online. It's just a little out of date. We're working on getting that worked out and getting that caught up. But the audio version is available. And if you want to follow us on the usual websites, Facebook, we've got our own, of course, East West Audio Body Shop over on Facebook. Please like us there. And then we're on Twitter as well, even though I know we're not doing a whole lot in Twitter, but, you know, we'll get around to it. But we always post the shows when they're released on YouTube on all of those places, so you can't miss a show. And then, of course, subscribe to the YouTube feed so you never miss a show.
Yes, never and miss a show.
We'd appreciate that.
Yep. Hey, that's pretty good.
Cool.
Off the top of your head?
Yeah.
Oh, the top of my head. Yeah. We forget the eWeb swag.
I know. We've gotten out of the habit of plugging it.
Well, I know. Because people, you know, you can get a coffee mug, you can get the t-shirts, you can get the mouse pads, you can get the notebook covers, you can get... Do we have lingerie? I can't remember.
There's some spaghetti strap tops. That's the
sure there's a Snuggie.
There probably is.
If it's not press, there's a Snuggie.
We need one. We totally need one.
It's going to be cold here in Buffalo tonight.
There you go.
So I could just take the notebook cover. Yeah, no, the notebook cover, and I could just sort of tape it to me and it's my studio, my East West Audio Body Shop Snuggie. What's the address for that, George? It's
ewebs.com. Just click the link at the top of the page for eWeb Shop.
And it's right there. Right there. The East West Audio Body Shop.
Just says shop. That's right. And there's a subscribe on YouTube link on the right, and below our logo, there's a donate button. So if you just want to send a couple bucks our way to keep the Ustream ads away, we really appreciate it. And
most appreciated. And it's how we've been able to go on for 96 episodes. Now, somebody was asking, when's our 100th episode? It will be 4 episodes from this one. For those of you who forgot your algebra.
So, I don't think we're planning on taking any days off in June yet, because I know we're doing some taking off in July for some vacation for you there.
It'll be the last weekend in June when we're heading on our vacation. So I'm leaving on the 29th. Mm-hmm. So I will not be here on the 30th. So our 100th episode will probably be let's see here. No, let's see. Let's see. Well, it's Lewis's graduation. See, I'm just going through my calendar here.
Right.
My son's graduating from high school, and it's like, it's a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
It's making me feel really old. So it's probably going to be the 23rd. So next week, I know we have Simon Vance on, do we not?
Yes, we do. We don't have any other guests booked right now, but we do have that one. We've got Simon secured for June 2nd, and he will be fresh off that award show, which was – is it this coming week?
I think APAC is this weekend.
Okay, so that's happening.
Next weekend? Yeah.
Okay, so he'll be fresh off of that and hopefully have a few awards to share with him. Right. Just kind of tell us what it was like and share us the latest in the life of Simon Vance.
Yeah. And let's see. And then, I guess the 23rd, if we do it every week between now and then, that'll be the 100th episode. And if you have any suggestions of what you'd like to have for the 100th episode,
we'd like to get shout-outs.
Yes, we would like to get some shout-outs.
We would love to get shout-outs. So if you would be so kind as to record just a short 30-second video of any kind, and if you can't do video, just audio, and send your picture, that would be a lot of fun to just throw into the show. Whenever we go to a break, throw in like 5 or 10 shout-outs from you guys. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So send them in.
Yeah. All righty. Well, I think it's time that we thank our wonderful guests this evening. I do like doing these hangouts. This is great because it's great to see our friends and great to see our people who love the show and just hang out and stuff. Some of you were very quiet tonight, but let's go from the right to the left. Roxanne Quayle, thank you for being with us. Wonderful to see you. Looking forward to talking to you again real soon. Diane Costello Merritt in South Carolina. Always a pleasure. You coming home to Buffalo one of these days?
I'm hoping so.
Okay, good.
South Kakalaki.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. All right. Anthony, always a pleasure. We'll be talking.
Do you?
All right, absolutely. And Ganguza and your voiceover peep guys. we didn't ask you about that tonight, but
Theopeeps.com.
We got great stuff coming up.
She is moving and shaking. That's a good resource.
Lots of stuff coming up.
Awesome.
All right.
Thank you.
We're glad you're doing that.
And yeah, George and Dan, you're going to be a big part of it. So thank you.
Just so we know now.
See, I have assigned that to you now.
Yes. Oh my God, yeah. Look what Anthony's holding.
Yay,
up.
Yay, Anthony! Woohoo!
Oh, thank he's you. Got his VO Peeps pop screen. Awesome.
And those are available on VOPeeps.com. But EWAPS also has.
Well, ours are sold out.
We sold ours out. Yeah. They were gone.
We need to get another batch.
Yeah.
Yes, we do. And Adam Burrell, you'll catch up to us one of these days.
Always a pleasure watching, John. Always.
All right.
Best of luck with your burgeoning voice acting career.
Thanks.
You certainly are coming to the right place to find out what to do. Well, I guess that's going to do it for us this week. Anything else, George? Nah. Anything you can think of off the top of your head?
High note.
Hey, I actually started taking voice lessons this week.
That's awesome. It's only going to help your voice acting, I'm sure.
It's projecting out to here and, mm-hmm. and getting, you know, and it was actually quite interesting. You know, I mean, it's stuff I knew, but sometimes it helps to have a coach, which is also the case in voice acting.
It good never to have hurts a coach. To have a coach.
Doesn't hurt. Doesn't hurt at all. Even at it did hurt a little bit as I was trying to learn some of the technique, but it doesn't really hurt.
Even at the highest levels of the of your career, you should have a coach.
Always. You should always be educating yourself. Mm-hmm. All right, now we're rambling on. Anyway, I'd like, of course, to thank everybody for watching tonight and, of course, honor those who are not with us tonight because they gave the ultimate sacrifice in the defense of our country. Mm-hmm. And we honor them and salute what they've done from the revolution all the way through Afghanistan. You know, it's amazing what some people will do in the sacrifices. And that's why we're free and we appreciate it. And so thank you, those who have gone before. Sure. Absolutely. Well, on that note, I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. Have yourselves a great week. We'll see you next Sunday night. Thanks, everybody, for being with us tonight.
Good night, everybody. Thanks, everybody, in the Hangouts. Woohoo!